I'm really glad to be here and pleased to be invited. And yeah, apologise for arriving at the very last minute. I made some bad decisions about what route to take and paid the price, I'm afraid. But it's great to be here, and I'm really excited to speak on this topic of independence from America, which I think is a very important question. It's a question that has been quite central to a lot of the work that I've done. Most of my work has been looking at the way that countries rebuild after wars, and my particular area that I'm interested in is Southeast Asia, where obviously there has been a lot of rebuilding to be done following the Cold War and the very significant violence that happened in that part of the world. And I think I've actually just come back from there a couple of days ago. I was in Cambodia for a couple of weeks looking at some of the political issues going on there. And it's interesting that that country is still very much trying to recover from its experiences during the Cold War, even though there hasn't actually been any fighting going on there for about 15 years now. Nevertheless, the legacy of the violence there is still very, very much in evidence. And while I was there, I mean, looking also at the news from Iraq, where obviously the news from there is not particularly good. This new movement, the ISIS movement, that has been making sort of rapid progress across the country. They're apparently unstoppable advance. And, you know, that sort of goes alongside, you know, news that we've been hearing over several years about the reemergence of the Taliban as a significant force in Afghan politics. And it seems that if you look at Afghanistan, if you look at Iraq, and even if you look at Cambodia, which was the target of American intervention, you know, decades ago, it seems that governments in those countries are still not particularly secure. And that leads me to sort of think about the nature of intervention and the nature of efforts by countries like the US, like the UK also to some extent, to project power in different parts of the world. And I think that's, you know, links very nicely with what we're doing here today and what we sort of see behind us, which is this very, very clear manifestation of American power right here in the middle of Yorkshire. And so, I mean, just to reflect on Cambodia for a second, I mean, that country is really famous primarily, I think, internationally, for the US intervention there in the 1960s and 70s, which at the time was described as a sideshow to the Vietnam War, quite famously. And it's like Iraq, like Afghanistan, it's an example of intervention, it's an example of American exercise of power that blew up spectacularly in American faces, leading, as it did, to the murderous Khmer Rouge regime under Pol Pot that turned the whole of Cambodia into a vast prison camp, introduced, you know, forced collectivization, socialist planning on a really disastrous scale, and led to famines and various kinds of violent excesses in which up to about a quarter of the Cambodian population died. And so when we think about these places, and obviously there's lots of other places we could think of, we could think about you know, the disastrous situation in the Democratic Republic of Congo, another country that has been the target of American intervention. Or we can think about the continuing plight of Iranians under a regime which was established as in direct opposition to US foreign policy. We could even think possibly about the rise of populist leftism across Latin America. And thinking about all of those countries and reflecting on the theme of today's celebration, independence from America, led me to think that, you know, it leads me to think about the nature of US power. And I think if we look at this facility here, and when we hear about the apparently endless surveillance that it exercises, and when we reflect on its absolute lack of accountability to the British Parliament and the British people, it's kind of tempting to think about US power as possessed of an extraordinarily long reach. And the US, you know, spends at the height of the end of the Bush administration, at the height of military spending, the US was spending something like 48% of the world's total defense spending. So the US was spending almost as much as every other country put together on bolstering its military power. And even in the most recent figures I could find today were 2011, when the US was spending 41% of international military spending. So that seems like a vast expenditure, a vast amount of money and effort being put into this extension of power. But what does this really achieve in terms of foreign policy? And I think if we look at places like Afghanistan and Iraq and even Cambodia decades after the American intervention there, it's tempting to conclude that the Americans actually get very little back from this huge expense of money and effort. In the 8 years between 1965 and 1973, the US dropped more bombs on Cambodia than were dropped by all of the Allied powers put together anywhere in the world in the whole of World War II. Which is an extraordinary amount of force to direct at a small country that's actually just a little bit smaller than England. Those statistics make Cambodia arguably the most heavily bombed country in history. And the bombing was undertaken in an attempt to prevent supplies and insurgents from using the famous Ho Chi Minh Trail that went through Cambodia from North Vietnam to South Vietnam, where US troops were committed. And despite this unprecedented carpet bombing, the effort failed. Subsequently, the US invaded Cambodia in an attempt to find and destroy the South Vietnamese Central Command, believed to be hidden in the jungle on the Vietnamese border. But there was no such command centre. And the invasion failed to achieve anything except to spread communist insurgents right across Cambodia, destabilising the country. Attempts to prop up the Cambodian government to fight the insurgents failed, as of course did similar efforts in South Vietnam. And after the communist takeover in both Cambodia and Vietnam, blanket trade and aid sanctions were imposed on both countries by the Americans for more than a decade. Those sanctions were effective in significantly disrupting efforts at state building in both Cambodia and Vietnam after the war. Like the war that that preceded them, they were enormously disruptive, but without achieving American objectives. A peacekeeping force in Cambodia in the early 1990s was sent with a mandate to establish a multi-party liberal democracy in the country with a free market economic system. More than 20 years on, what exists now in Cambodia is a highly corrupt authoritarian government which abuses human rights, cheats in elections, and awards its most favourable contracts to Chinese companies rather than American ones. The US preferred candidate for the prime minister's position in Cambodia lives mostly in exile, and his party is consistently harassed by the Cambodian government. In 2009, the US ambassador to Cambodia appeared at a charity event held in the capital city to talk about corruption. Her speech denouncing corruption in Cambodia attracted an angry response from the Cambodian government and a crackdown on the anti-corruption movement in the country. What this suggests is that after 50 years of intense pressure and involvement in Cambodia, ranging from bombing to sanctions to peacekeeping to development assistance, the US government has achieved remarkably little influence in the country. US actions there, US policies there, have certainly produced consequences. Indeed, Kissinger and Nixon have been blamed for the emergence of the Khmer Rouge and the abuses perpetrated by their nightmarish regime. But as in Iraq and Afghanistan, as in Cuba and Palestine and many other countries around the world that we could think of, the power that the US exercises is primarily disruptive, and it's actually not very good at achieving American objectives. In political science, we define power as the ability to get someone to do something they wouldn't otherwise have done that serves your interests. If we consider the nature of US power today, we can see that the US certainly has the ability to get millions, if not billions, of people around the world to do many things that they wouldn't otherwise have done. But it seems to be rather lacking in the ability to ensure that the actions it so prompts actually serve the US interest. And this is the perennial hearts and minds problem, which was first articulated with respect to Vietnam, and which the US appears no closer to resolving today than in the 1960s. In response to the ISIS phenomenon in Iraq, there have been new calls for American reintervention in that country and for a new policy towards Syria. One former national security advisor, Elliot Abrams, wrote recently, "What has been missing in Syria since 2011 is Western and especially American leadership and determination, but it is not too late." Now, while the situation in Syria is clearly appalling, I think Independence from America Day offers an opportunity to consider the the nature of American leadership across the world. For every country we might think of that apparently it responds to American power by reliably serving American interests, and we might possibly put the UK in that category, we can easily think of others that, although significantly disrupted and often disastrously undermined by US power, have nevertheless remained a frustration to US planning. For me, the significant question in examining the effects of US power in countries like Cambodia is to examine how it might be possible to proactively promote strategies for peace, even alongside the presence of the disruptive effects of American and Western power. The question is how to find ways of fostering partnerships with people in other countries that are based on solidarity rather than misplaced confidence in Western power or expertise. And how can we pursue those strategies in contexts scarred by the effects of American power and its perpetual failure? Answering these questions seems to me to be the basis for considering what independence from America could possibly mean in the contemporary world. Thanks.